Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Joining us for the State House Report is none other than State Senator Bob Hedlund. Senator Hedlund, how are you this evening?
Happy Monday evening, Kevin.
How are you, sir?
Pretty good.
I got to ask you. You finally have gotten your wish. You have a Republican governor. How is it to have Charlie Baker in the corner office?
Well, he was like a secondary wish. My primary wish was that we get some Republican help in the legislature, because that's where the laws are made, if you remember your civics classes.
I do, sir.
But I'm excited for Charlie, and he's a smart guy. I've said it all along that he has the potential to be a great governor.
Now, you have gotten a little bit of help, I believe, and I actually, when I spoke with State Senator, newly minted State Senator Vinny DiMaceto, I actually referenced you when you had said that you guys can hold your caucuses in a phone booth. I would believe that you have at least expanded it to a booth over at Trio or Foursquare, correct?
Yeah, we were joking. We got together, the caucus got together, I guess almost 2 months, month and a half ago now, for dinner over at Trio, and the funny thing is, we no longer fit in the booth. We had to use a banquette.
Which is good, which is I would believe is good, yeah. You're gaining numbers, and hopefully next session you can gain,
We do have one guy in our caucus, Don Humison. He rivals Vince Wilfork in stature.
Oh, you might have to deflate him a little bit if you don't mind me using the pun.
Yeah, so, when we do the booth thing, he's on one side.
Okay. Well, let's first and foremost, I know that the past couple of weeks it's been time for, inaugurations and swearing folks in, and it also for lawmakers, it gives you guys an opportunity to look at some bills. Maybe you hear from constituents and they have things that they want to have you file. Have you had a chance to do any filings or look at any bills or co-sponsor anything?
Yes. Actually, the filing deadline was a week ago Friday. So, and that's been pushed back through the years. It used to be the bill filing deadline was in November of the preceding session. So if you had a new member that was sworn in or was about to be sworn in, in January, he had to get his bill filed in November preceding his swearing in. So that was a rules change we did sometime after we went to the 19-month cycle. But, we've got a whole bunch of legislation prepared. I'm focused in some of the same areas I've focused in the past, Kevin. Still hammering away at trying to get Chapter 40B, some changes done to that, which, has been a topic on your show. I've joined with newly elected state rep DeCoste for Norwell. That's been a focus of his, so we teamed up on a number of bills regarding Chapter 40B and reform of that. And there's something I'm working on. I don't want to get into it. What's that?
No, I didn't say anything. Keep going.
No, one other bill that I would just highlight, one of the areas I should say that I would highlight would be in the area of opiate addiction, doing some stuff that's kind of outside the box on that, and I think should get a significant discussion going. And I plan on bringing the chair of the committee. There's a commission that's been formed, but also the Substance Abuse Mental Health Committee Chairman, Jen Flanagan. I do plan on bringing her down to my district for a hearing, but I do have something that we're putting on the table for discussion in that regard that will probably generate a lot of discussion, as I said.
Going back to talking about the 40B, what are the couple of things that maybe you're hoping can be reformed with 40B, just as a reminder to folks who deal with that?
I'm not the only legislator that has an issue with this topic. Last year, there were 40 bills filed, ironically, on Chapter 40B, and the chair of the Housing Committee in the Senate, Senator James Eldridge, who even filed some Chapter 40B reform legislation, he and his House cohort refused to let any bills get out to the floor for debate. Most of them were put in study, those 40 bills. So there's, the problem is you got some up in Beacon Hill that talk a good game on this, and others just, work for the status quo and special interests that want the status quo. But what I'm doing is anything that will return any element of local control back to local communities, whether it be factoring in historic district aspects, you know, we want to allow towns to maintain their own wetlands protection bylaws. We encourage that in other areas of government. That with Chapter 40B, we wipe that out. So a little more local control in any way, shape, or form is what we're striving for.
Well, we know that kind of moving forward, and one of the topics that I had mentioned at the start of our segment here, Senator Hedlund, you have a looming deficit that was left by the last administration of $765 million. What are some of the things that are being bandied about that could try to reduce this before you look at FY 2016?
Right. Well, one thing to consider, when I first went into office, Kevin, we had a similar sized budget deficit. And the difference then was we had a $12.5 billion state budget. Now we've got a $35 billion state budget. So, you know, the scale is much less. So I think there's more room for the governor to work in addressing this. But you do have a few options in front of the governor that, obviously in consultation with us, the legislature, he'll be able to utilize. One would be, you know, using some of the stabilization rainy day fund monies, which we, you know, you really don't want to do if you can avoid it, but you may have to. He's got to address the connector issues. I mean, we're paying health care costs for people who we know aren't eligible for health care subsidies here in the Commonwealth because of the way the connector debacle went, because they can't figure out who's eligible and who's not eligible. And, you know, we pushed, by the way, just on that note, the Republicans pushed the administration and the members of the legislature, the Democrats, I might add, pushed the Val Patrick administration to seek a waiver and keep the system we had in place, which worked. But, you know, obviously he wanted to give political cover to his friend in the White House. So that's a tragedy that has led to this deficit. And the other thing is we have some good news, I guess, on capital gains collection. That could be a one-time thing. It will help to paper over that deficit.
I have to ask you, what are you anticipating the governor's very first budget of his administration, and tell me how that will work in conjunction with you have a new Senate president. You know, what do you look for from your colleagues in the Senate when it comes time for them to look at put together something budget wise?
Yeah, that's interesting, because they're both policy wonks. Governor Baker and Stan Rosenberg actually worked together at one time. Stan Rosenberg was Ways and Means Chairman in the Senate. I think he was only there for a year or two under Birmingham, Senate President Birmingham. And Baker, obviously, you know, worked in the Weld administration. So I think they had some overlap at one time. They're both policy wonks. They like dealing with this kind of challenge. And hopefully that will lead to some creative ideas, you know, outside the box thinking, which we rarely see on Beacon Hill. And, you know, his style is going to be a radical departure, I think, from the previous Senate president. So it'll be interesting to watch.
You had mentioned in answering a previous question in regards to our current president. He just last week had his State of the Union. What did you take away from Barack Obama's speech?
Not much. And I'm not trying to play the partisan, you know, counterpoint here, because I didn't think much of his speech, and I didn't think much of Jody Ernst's speech, the Republican response. So, you know, I think this president really has some chutzpah. You know, he talks about all this bipartisan kumbaya stuff, but, you know, the record belies that, you know? So words are one thing, deeds are another, and I just think with him and probably a lot of other politicians, that the rhetoric doesn't match the deeds and the record, and that's unfortunate. And what more can I say about that speech?
Okay. Again, we're speaking with...
Let's just say this. Let me summarize, Kev.
Okay.
You know, there's been great speeches done by presidents through American history, whether it's, you know, George Washington's farewell address, Eisenhower talking about the military-industrial complex, Kennedy going to East Berlin, you name it. It's nowhere near any of those. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. Yeah, we're speaking with State Senator Bob Hedlund. He's doing a little thing that we call the State House Report. Hey, just I want to tell you, you're kind of a bookend on this show, because on the backside of our program, we have a gentleman who is a food critic, who also knows his football, who's going to be joining us.
Kerry Byrne.
Kerry J. Byrne is going to be on our program later on this evening. And I know
your listeners want to stick around for that.
Yeah, well, they want to stick around, and they might even want to read something about he did about your two restaurants, correct?
He did a nice, I guess you'd call it a review, if you will. But we appreciate the publicity. But, yeah, Kerry, he's like a Renaissance man. He knows his politics. He knows his government, his sports, his food.
And his beer.
Beer.
Mm. Definitely.
I hope that you give him ample time to not only elaborate about football and food, but the wonder, the dining experience in Weymouth Landing.
We may do that, because I know he did touch upon that, how that's coming around. Anything you want to say in closing, Senator?
Gee, Kev, I thought we were doing this segment on Deflategate.
No, that's later on. That's at 7:30.
Can I weigh in on that, since everybody else is?
You have 30 seconds to do so.
As a young kid at Old Schaefer Stadium, my father had season tickets. I grew up, obviously a football fan. I never knew, this is something I've learned throughout this whole process, that these guys have, like, their own footballs, and there's a different football for kicking, a different football for, during the play versus kicking. And I thought it was like baseball. I thought, you threw a ball into the game and everybody used it until it went out of the stands. I didn't know everyone had their personalized footballs. Maybe that's what the NFL should do and look at that to change and rectify this. And I'm sure in the old days, that's how it was. They probably threw a ball into the game and it got used,
Yeah. The only thing you got to worry about is this the home stadium, a home field shenanigans. And I think that's what they try to do is prevent that, because you might have favorable balls for your quarterback, but you never know what you end up with.
Well, the balls have to meet the standards that the NFL sets. I get that, but and be kept under lock and key by the officials. But I didn't understand why there's all these different balls. You're telling me that one team's quarterback uses one ball, and the other guy's got his personal ball,
yep.
And then the kicking balls are different. Did you know that?
Oh, I did. I did know that. But that's how the sport has evolved. It's not our father's NFL anymore. It's the modern day version.
Well, sometimes evolution isn't necessarily good for the game, and I can point to other sports where that's probably the case.
Another topic for another day, but always great to have you on, Senator.
All right, Kev.
You got there. You State Senator Bob Hedlund. Stay tuned. We got more coming up here on Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.